Yes.
So we left off last time talking about the origin of the prohibition that we're not allowed to cook for non-Jews. Two reasons for that given are the concern about intermarriage and also the possibility that something might be treif. So that's where we started off last time, and now we need to define what's going on. So now we're on page 67, and so we're going to define now which foods are forbidden.
67.
And then I will talk a little bit about liquids. And then the next thing we'll talk about, which we may not get to until next week,
Kitchen.
we might we'll talk about, like, what possible ways that we can allow a Gentile to be involved without it violating Bishlachim. But so starting with which foods are forbidden? So there's two criteria given in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, source 12, page 67. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Kol hanechal kamo shehu chai. If the food can be eaten raw, in bo mishum bishul le'nachrim. So if a food can fundamentally be eaten raw, but sometimes it's cooked. So I would say something like carrots, maybe cooked sometimes, but people normally eat it raw. So we don't have to worry about bishulakim. And the surah manu hachi. That's the reason that was given in the surah. Vpumvadisa manu hachi amar Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak amar Rav. So a different version of what Rav Yitzchak said in the name of Rav was given in Pumvadisa. So what Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak said in the name of Rav. Kol she'enu nacha al shulchan melachim, v'alef es posa pas ein bo mishum bishulei nachrin. Any item that's not eaten together with bread on the table of kings is not subject to the cooking of Gentiles. So what that reason tells us is that if a food is either not a main part of what would be eaten at a royal meal, we'll talk a little bit about how to interpret that. But the idea is that if it wouldn't be eaten on at a in a royal context, either as a main thing or whatnot, so then we don't have to worry about bishul akum. So question that Rishonim deal with is, do you need both of these conditions? Meaning, does it have to be raw and something that's not eaten on the table of kings in order to avoid the bishul akum problem, or is one of these conditions sufficient? Tosfos in source 13 say, in the name of Beinu Tam, Yechza kehani treya lishne ve'i ikachad minayhu. So as long as you have one of these conditions, meaning let's say I have a food that will not be eaten raw, it needs to be cooked, but it's not something that would be eaten on a royal table, so I'm fine. Or you don't need to fulfill both these conditions, one of them is fine. The reason that Rabbeinu Tam gives for this is because the prohibition of cooking by Gentiles is rabbinic decree. It's a rabbinic prohibition, so we're lenient. So we're not concerned about fulfilling every single criteria, but one of them isn't. And that's what Shulchan Aruch paskens in source 14. Davar she'eino nechal kamo shehu chai, v'gam ole al shulchan malachim, v'alef es bos ha'pas ole parperes shebish l'goy, afil v'chi Yisrael v'vei Yisrael aser mishum bishul l'goyim. So in translation, an item that is not eaten raw and is also brought to a king's table is forbidden due to bishulakum. In other words, one way of saying it is that if you fulfill one of the conditions, then you're allowed to have the food that's cooked by a non-Jew. Or another way of saying it is that in order to forbid it, you need to be violating both of the criteria. But here we have it. We have an either or. So what we need to define now is what are the parameters of something that is edible when it's raw, and then we have to define what it means that it's served at a royal table. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, this is source 15 on page 16.
But Rabbi, it's not only brought to the table, but it's also has to be accompanied, says, by bread or as a relish.
So we'll again, we're very shortly going to be defining what it means, Allah shulchan malachim, but I left that to be vague right now because we do we do, there's more to be done to define that. But
Okay.
starting with the condition that if something is edible raw, then you automatically don't have to worry about bishulakum. The Gemara says, Beitza tzuya bar kapara shari Rabbi Yochanan asar. So an egg that's roasted, bar kapara says that if an egg is roasted by Gentile, bar kapara says that's permitted, and Rabbi Yochanan says that it is prohibited. And the halacha, the Beis Yosef says, follows Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, v'afal gav de beitza ru'uya legom achaya, lo mikrei nechal kamoshu chay de ein zo achila chashuva. So Beis Yosef takes the opinion that an egg that was roasted by a Gentile is prohibited, because even though in theory you could have it raw, that's not really the normal way to eat it. So in terms of defining what's considered to be raw, so, you know, you could argue that, you know, that a lot of things that if somebody really wanted to, they could try having it raw and get out of this prohibition. But we're going with a certain standard of reasonableness that, given that most people do not eat raw eggs, as the Gemara presents it, so therefore an egg that's roasted by Gentile is prohibited.
Potatoes, too. No one eats raw potatoes.
So we're going to get to fish very shortly. Fish potatoes. Is a bit controversial. We're going to talk about it in a second.
Right.
So the Aruch HaShulchan fleshes this out a little bit. He says, Dover Pashat, it's very obvious. This is source 17 on page 69. The Inyan Dover She'edo Na'cha Kamosha Huchai, Holchin Achar Rov B'nei Adam. It goes according to the majority of the people. Meaning, if I use the egg example, maybe the egg example is not the best example. Let's say for some reason somebody says that they're willing to eat a piece of meat raw. They're like, you know, I'm gonna whatever. I'm willing to try this out for one time and I think I can handle it.
They eat that raw.
So there's a third raw. The standard Malchal Ben Drusai, which is like when it's like only a third cooked. Sorry. So, yeah, there might be an individual who's weird like that, but that's not the standard we use. In terms of what we define what's fundamentally a food that can be eaten edible, it has to be something that fits the average person. And likewise, so in some ways that's a chumrah, but it's also a kula, because let's say the majority of people eat something cooked, but... the majority of people would eat it raw, but there's some people, you know, maybe like it better when it's cooked. So they're allowed to have that cooked by a Gentile, because in defining what's nechal kshu chai, kmo shu chai, when we talk about something that's edible raw, so we're going according to the majority of people. But the Aruch HaShulchan adds at the end, of medina achas ochla kshi chaya, minacheres en ochlin osa rak vivushal, en yiptalin zelazet. So, let's say you have, you know, two different regions, two different locales. So, you know, maybe in Japan people eat it this way, but in America people eat it a different way. Then we go by the society that we're living in, what's normal for our society. It doesn't have to be like, we don't have to, you know, take a poll of the entire world. Do you eat this raw or not? But we get a sense of what's normal in our society. So Sefer Kashrus says in source 18, a food that is edible raw is still permitted to be eaten, even if it is cooked by a Gentile to the point that it dissolves and its form is entirely changed, it becomes exactly like a cooked dish. So, and the major point here is that a food that most people would eat raw, if a Gentile cooks it, it's still fine. But if it's a food that generally requires cooking, for all intents and purposes, meat, right, needs to be cooked in order for most people to be able to eat it. So meat is subject to bishul akum. But maybe carrots are not. So one application of this question is the issue of fish, which Joseph just asked me a second ago. So the example being sushi. Sushi is something that originated in Japan. So sushi involves raw salmon, raw fish. So the question is, in theory, people do eat salmon cooked. That might be the most normal way to eat it. But the fact that some people eat sushi, does that mean that I can now eat salmon that's cooked by a Gentile? So, and again, it's not about me. Like, I personally don't eat sushi, but we're not talking about whether I like sushi. We're talking about whether based on societal standards, is that sufficient to free salmon from the prohibition of bishulakum? So Rabbi Ganak says a fish is not subject to the restrictions of bishulakum because of this. With that said, I was asking around, what other rabbis know of in this realm, and it was pointed out to me that both Rav Hershel Schechter and Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, Rebelsky was one of the poskim for the OU, along with Rav Schechter, and they would bounce their psakim off each other, and the OU would try to accommodate both of their psakim when it was possible. So Rav Schechter and Rebelsky both felt that that fish does have to be cooked by a Jew, and the fact that and part of their argument is that sushi is not commonly eaten enough for that to change the status of fish, which maybe nowadays is a little bit arguable. But Rav Schechter says that also that the fish is not the only part of the sushi, that there's the rice and there's the, I don't know, the avocado, whatever else is in sushi. So fish is not really the main or the only ingredient there. So there's all sorts of reasons.
You had that before sushi came out. You had it with herring and lox. That's not cooked.
So somebody said to me that with lox, it's still smoked before it's packaged and sent out. So it's actually not technically entirely raw.
Oh, I think the
that's what I was told. That's what I was told. So this is a debate whether fish could be eaten in a fashion that's not cooked. And Rav Eliezer Melamed takes the Machmir position. He says, although many today are accustomed to eat raw fish in various forms, such as sushi, there is still a prohibition of Bishul Akum concerning meat and fish, since the form of eating them raw is entirely different, is considered a different category of food. Meaning that sushi is one category of food, but then like eating like salmon as a meal or eating, you know, tilapia as a meal is a different category of food. They're not... Even though, like the material might be the same, to some extent, but the way it's presented and the way it's eaten is just very different. Moreover, it's not possible that due to one form of eating, the prohibition of cooking would be abolished from meat and fish. Again, so it's like sushi might be one way of eating fish, but the majority of the way people eat fish is still fundamentally that it's cooked. So. So this is a debate that goes on in post-game. I would say if somebody was in a situation perhaps where they're really out of options and cooked fish is the only thing that they could have, so maybe there'd be something to rely on. Maybe there'd be something to rely on there. There's our post-game that seemed to say that it's fine. But the chatchila, fish should be cooked by a Jew. What? So the fish in sushi is not cooked, so you're fine. You definitely don't have to worry about it because it's not cooked in the first place. But the question is, the fact that some people eat sushi, does that mean that all other forms of fish no longer need to be cooked? And a lot of postgame are hesitant to take it to that extreme. So that's the issue of raw food.
Doesn't also have to be fit to put on a table for a king.
So that's the next criteria. That's what we're going to talk about now. Mm-hmm. So the Aruch HaShulchan brings up when it comes to the concept of Ol HaShulchan Melachim, that it could be served at a king's table. So in some ways, there's actually a machlokis about this, meaning the question might be, would kings eat this at all? Or does it have to be that it'd be served at, you know, at a royal function, at a state dinner? And in fact, Poskim might apply this concept of Ol HaShulchan Melachim to president, to prime minister, you know, any sort of dignitary. Would that food be served at a state dinner involving dignitaries?
A country.
So the question might be like, also, you know, how do those things evolve? The Aruch HaShulchan says that when it comes to potatoes, he says that's not Ol HaShulchan Melachim. So therefore, if one eats potatoes that are cooked by a non-Jew, that's fine. And he says the fact that a lot of people eat potatoes is probably indicative of the fact that it's cheaper. So that's why a lot of people eat cooked potatoes, is because that's like the cheapest cooked food that they could have. And the fact that rich people eat it is again because potatoes just happen to be readily available, but you wouldn't go to a royal banquet and like be given like potatoes as like your main dish.
Oh, the main dish.
So, so now it's not really necessary about just the main dish, right? It's also about to accompany the bread or as relish, but potatoes are not really considered to be so upgraded of status. So Yerach HaShulchan goes on to say that there is an opinion of the Chochmas Adam that potatoes would be served at a royal's table, but he says aval ata b'nasenu in our regions, shezorim osa lamarbe, it's food that's produced for the masses. Umacha rov hamon, it's for everybody. Umacha pashimo, it's a very simple food. So therefore, he says potatoes shouldn't count as olah shulchan malachim. So certainly, if you have French fries. Certainly, if you have French fries that are cooked by a non-Jew, technically fine. Now, there are poskim who suggest that, like for example, canned sardines. So there's some report that there was a particular king who would eat, canned sardines. So therefore, obviously, kings eat that. So the rebuttal to that would be that no, that that. You wouldn't serve canned sardines at a royal meal, so that's partially where this machlokus goes. The Sefer Kashrus in source 21 on page 72 says the definition and practice of a food that is brought on king's table depends on the location and the time. So the Sefer Kashrus, again, you see this in the Aruch HaShulchan grappling. What is the status of potatoes in his region and his time? So he says that that's something that's subject to change. Dafka. I mean, and as poskim are developing this and they're looking at what's going on, they're all Goyish kings. But that's the point, is that we like when it comes to a non-Jewish king, like we still, we are machshiv that we consider that to be a very important status, and even if we sometimes try to keep a distance and we don't entirely put our trust in them, but we still, we still observe their status of royalty. So,
Location's important.
so the Sefer HaKashrus in a footnote suggests that nowadays, because potatoes and green beans and the like are served. Could be served at a lavish banquet, could be served at a royal table, and for that matter is mushrooms and corn. So he says that maybe potatoes go back to being subject to bishul akum, although again I would say French fries probably not a concern, but when you have potatoes that come with chicken, so like the potatoes probably should be cooked by a Jew because of, it's part of a meal that could be served at a royal banquet. So he says that falafel and hummus and the like are not olah shulchan malachim. Sugar and chocolate are not olah shulchan malachim. And again, with this canned sardines example, that's not. Again, it's not that a king would never eat those things, but it would never be served at a royal meal. In source 24, Moshe Heineman points out that the Star K and determining what their policies would be about like which foods are olah shulchan malachim, they actually spoke with the chief executive chef at the White House. They asked him about certain things, what would be presented. So the chef's response about certain questions would be, we would serve whatever the guest wants. However, we never serve potato chips, nor do we ever use canned goods. Everything's prepared fresh. So again, if somebody might want it to some extent, but there's certain things that you just like never put out at a state dinner. And that tells you a little bit about their status. So, a question that comes up also, are liquids subject to this? Like when it comes to Shabbos, so we would say that that boiling water is considered cooking. But we're going to apply to the bishul akum also that if I'm, a non-Jew boils a cup of hot water for me to have tea, is that a restriction? The Aruch HaShulchan says, in source 25, page 74, Hare kol rabbeinu kasu d'lachein ein b'shechar mishum bishulei akum. Beer is not subject to bishul akum because whatever wheat might have been Her grains might have been cooked in preparation of the beer. So that's all basically nullified to the water. It's not subject to Bishul Akum. He says, similarly, coffee and chocolate is not subject to Bishul Akum. Rav Avadya Yosef also deals with this question. Can a non-Jew make coffee for a Jew? So on page 75 in the bold, he says, and from here one can derive concerning coffee that even though the coffee is not edible raw, nevertheless, since the coffee is secondary to the water with respect to the fact that one must recite on a shakonia bidvaro, the coffee beans themselves, you know, might be a different bracha in theory if you ate them raw. But the fact that the coffee beans are turned into a liquid, which makes a shahako, tells you that that really it's the liquid, it's the water that's most significant. So therefore, concerning Bishul Akum as well, the water is considered to be the primary component. It follows that there's no prohibition of drinking the coffee based on Bishul Akum. So Rav Yosef rules emphatically, are allowed to drink coffee that's prepared for a non-Jew. And the same thing would be obviously true about tea.
Does that apply to tea, you just said it, sorry.
Yeah, for tea also, I would think that would be the same thing as well, because it's the liquid, it's the water. And even though for Shabbos we would say that cooking, that boiling water is considered cooking, we're not gonna, you know, first of all, water can be, you know, water can be drunk when it's raw, right? I mean, whatever we define raw as, but you can take water that's not boiled and drink it. So same thing should be true about boiled water as well. The Shevet Halevi of Vosner.
I have another question.
Yeah.
What if the non-Jew heats water, like you make instant oatmeal, like the non-Jew heat water and pour it into your instant oatmeal? Is that considered cooking?
I guess when it comes to oatmeal, so that, you know, brings us to a question of, is oatmeal olal shulchan malachim, right? Would a state dinner serve oatmeal? My hunch would be probably not. So regardless of the question of sort of boiling the water, I think oatmeal in general is probably not olal shulchan malachim, but I don't entirely know. So the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vosner, passed away about a decade ago. So he took issue with instant coffee because instant coffee itself, like the coffee itself is cooked in the factory, and it's only later, so meaning it's not the boiling of the water that's problematic, it's the cooking of the coffee beans that the non-Jew is doing. So Shevet HaLevi was machmir on this, and this goes back to El Chasim Sofer.
Does this mean the heksher on like Maxwell House coffee, instant coffee, they wouldn't give it if a non-Jew produced that item in the factory? Is that Bishul Akum, or is it?
It sounds like according to Shevet HaLevi that that would be the case, but that is not the opinion of most post-game. Yeah. In fact, in the footnote here, it says according to Sefer Kashrut, beer, coffee, including instant coffee, tea, and other drinks are not subject to Bishul Akum. This is the position of all major organizations of Kashrut organization in the diaspora as well. So again, I'm sorry that that I started late and we're cutting a little short. Next week we'll talk about, of course, what are the leniencies involved in Bishul Akum? When I say leniencies, it's not just like leniencies like Bidiyevit, but like we all at some point or another rely on the leniencies we're going to discuss. So they're a major component of the halachic system here. But again, the main point that we discussed today was that if a food can either be eaten raw or would be eaten raw by most people, and or if it wouldn't be served at a royal table, and again, that's an and or, so then it would be permitted even if it's cooked by a non-Jew. But something like meat that's cooked and, you know, would be served at a fancy dinner, so that's when the prohibition of Bishul Akum comes in. All right, have a good day, everyone. Again, I apologize for the
thank you. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Bye. Good night.